If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. It is a joy to greet you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're rejoicing at Worth Baptist Church over the many wonderful blessings God has given us this summer. The summer season officially comes to a close today, but we are praying the revival spirit that has characterized our sensational summer will continue on into the fall program. This summer has seen many people come to know Christ. Many have been added to the church, and all of our previous summer Sunday school records have been broken. Truly, God is great, God is good, and God is still doing business for those who believe Him and have faith in His Word. All over America today, many people are going to be taking advantage of a long weekend, a holiday, the Labor Day weekend. But my friend, let me say this to you. The most important thing in your life is your relationship to Christ. And the most wonderful thing and the most sensible thing that you can do today is to be in the house of God. Isn't it a great thing that God has provided a day that we call Sunday, the Lord's Day, a day that's been designated and set aside for worship? You see, man needs to worship and acknowledge God. There's something in every man that's reaching out to someone higher than himself. And we know today that God has revealed Himself in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the Holy Spirit, God makes it possible for us to commune with Him. The Bible tells us that the Spirit of God beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Let me ask you a personal question today. What is your spiritual condition? What is your relationship to God, to the Bible, to Christ, and to the church? If your relationship is not what it should be today, it is the prayer of the membership of Worth Baptist Church and of this pastor that God would use this radio ministry to bring you to that proper relationship which comes only by a personal faith in Jesus Christ. While many Americans will ignore the Lord and the Lord's Day, I trust that you'll put Christ first in your life. Many people are wondering what's the matter in America. What's wrong with our government? What's wrong with our economy? What's wrong with our nation? Well, beloved, the Bible says that sin is a reproach to any people. And the trouble with America today is that we've sinned against God. We've turned our backs on God as a nation. We've ignored God. We've expelled Him from the army. We've dismissed Him from the classroom in the school and tried to erase the very image of the Almighty from our public and national life. And my friend, God frowns upon that. In fact, the judgment of God is upon America today because America has sinned against Him. The Bible says, "The wicked shall be cast into hell, and every nation that forgets God." America's number one problem is sin. America's number one cure is the Savior. What America needs more than a balanced budget, more than a shot in the arm for the economy, more than anything else, America needs to turn to God. America needs a revival. America needs to be spiritually awakened. And we have, in this summer season, been praying, and we've seen the answer to our prayers as God is sparking revival in various parts of the country. We've talked to a lot of preachers this summer, and many of them are experiencing a spiritual awakening, a revolution of spiritual things in their lives and in their ministries and in their churches. So we're thanking God for the spirit of revival that's been abroad in our land during the days of the summer. But we must not stop here. We are moving on into a fabulous fall season. On Sunday, September the 14th, we have promotion day here at Worth Baptist Church. And that begins our fall season. And we're looking forward to a tremendous time of harvest of winning souls in the fabulous future of Worth Baptist Church during the days of the fall. We invite you to come today on this Labor Day weekend, this last Sunday of the summer season, to share with us in the good things that God is doing for us here at Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. We have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. And the textbook of the Sunday School of Worth Baptist Church is the Bible. In every class, in every unit, in every department, the Word of God is taught week after week. We are currently in a series of studies in the Book of Psalms, and we would be happy to have you and your family share these studies with us today at 10 o'clock in our Sunday School hour. Our morning worship hour is at 11, and our evening worship hour is at 7. Let me tell you something about the future plans and programs for this great church. Soon we will be beginning our building as the Lord opens the door and provides the needs. We'll be building our new building on our 14-acre tract located just 1/2 mile north of Loop 820, adjoining the properties of the Fort Worth State School. We anticipate some wonderful things in the days to come as the Lord leads step by step. We covet your prayers in this direction, that the needs would be supplied and soon we can begin our new building. We have a new theme for our Sunday school year and a new thrust for the fabulous fall. Our motto for the Sunday school is this: teaching the whole Bible to the whole Sunday school to enlighten the whole family to the whole truth. We believe your family would profit by being in a Sunday school and in a church ministry like this. So we invite you to come and visit with us today. Our address is 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. We would be happy to have you and your family and your friends to be with us today. Perhaps you're visiting in our city and you're looking for a place to worship. We invite you to come and worship with us at Worth Baptist Church, 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. Many of you have intended to write during these days of the summer. We encourage you to do so. And just a card or a letter to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas 76119. If you would like any of the tapes of Worth Baptist Hour, that is the tapes containing the messages preached on this broadcast, or any of the tapes that are preached in the pulpit of Worth Baptist Church, or perhaps the complete series of the messages entitled 1975 in Prophecy, or if you'd like to have just some of them, we'd be happy to make these arrangements for you. Write to us this week. Remember our mailing address, Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, Possessing Our Possessions. I'm going to read from the book of Joshua, chapter 13, at verse 1. But before I read this verse, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee that we have possessions in Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that we have salvation, eternal life, eternal joy in Him. We pray today as this broadcast fills the air that many hearts might be touched with the gospel and that souls might be saved. We pray for our nation, our president, our congressmen, our governors, our city officials. We pray, dear Lord, for our own city, the city of Fort Worth, that a spirit of revival would break forth in this city and set the pattern for the major cities of America. Bless this day and bless Thy people, and wherever the gospel is proclaimed, may it be proclaimed with power and may many come to know Christ. We would offer a special prayer for those, Heavenly Father, who are shut-ins and who are sick and afflicted and unable to be in public worship today. We pray that this broadcast and this message would be a special blessing to them. This is our prayer, and these are our petitions, and we ask them all in the name of Jesus Christ, and for His sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. In the book of Joshua, chapter 13, at verse 1, we find these words. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Possessing our possessions. The text tells us about Israel possessing the land that we commonly call the Promised Land, or Canaan, or the land of the Bible. In their journey from Egypt to Canaan, many, many things had taken place, but now it was time for them to go in and totally, completely possess that great land. My friend, I see in that a parallel to your life and mine as believers. Now, Egypt represents the world, the enslavements of sin. Canaan represents the heavenlies that we enjoy in Christ Jesus in our Christian experience. Now, the thing that had happened to Israel was this. Although God had promised them all of that vast land, from the river Euphrates to the river of Egypt, all of that vast land was theirs by promise and by covenant to Abraham, they had possessed only a small part of that great territory. May I pause long enough to say this? Today, our Secretary of State is going between Cairo and Jerusalem to formulate a diplomatic peace between those two peoples, the Arabs and the Jews. What we must reckon with is this. God promised that land to Abraham and to his seed after him. And his seed after him, according to the book of Genesis, would be called in Isaac. And the Jews are descendants of Isaac, and that land belongs to Israel. And God will ultimately see to it that they possess it all. There will be conflicts. There will be intermediate periods of peace. But there's going to be a great conflict when God will turn over the entire land. And I believe we saw a foreshadowing of that back in 1967 when they so quickly in 6 days took the city of Jerusalem. So, my friend, God is working out, even though the nations think that they are doing it, God is working out a program, and God is setting the stage. The stage is now being set for the Antichrist to come on the scene after the rapture of the church, and he, the Antichrist, will make peace between the Jews and between the Arabs. And not until that time will there be that peace. And we know that'll be a pseudo or false peace, only a temporary peace. Then there'll be great war, and then God will again give to Israel and establish them in the land that he promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, so much for that. Let's get back to the parallel in this possessing of possessions between Israel and the Christian life. While Israel at the time of Joshua had only taken a small part of it and had much land yet to take, even so, many people are in Christ and they're saved, and I'm speaking to some right now. You're saved, but that's all. But my friend, God wants more than that for you. God wants you to possess your possessions. In possessing our possessions, there are three things that we would observe. Number one, in possessing our possessions, there are unclimbed mountains that we should climb. As I said a moment ago, many people are saved, and that's all. But God wants you to have everything that He's provided for you in Jesus Christ, His Son. Our inheritance as Christians in the Lord Jesus Christ is not simply a part of Christ, but all of Christ. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And God wants us to live the Christian life to its fullest point. God wants us to enjoy an expanded, exciting Christian life. If the life of the Lord Jesus Christ is not being reproduced in your life day by day, then your Christianity is not vital. It is not effective. It is not revolutionary. You see, my friend, the sole purpose of your faith and the doctrine that you embrace is that you, individually and personally, as a born-again believer, become conformed to the image of God's dear Son. This is God's plan and God's purpose and God's program for your life. Consider the man Caleb, who was 85 years old. He said to Joshua, "Give me this mountain." And my friend, your prayer and mine today ought to be, "Dear Lord, give me this mountain." There are three mountains that we should climb in our Christian experience today. Number one, we should climb the mountain of spiritual maturity. Peter says in his second epistle, chapter 3, at verse 18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." We must become spiritually mature Christians, and the only way to do that is to climb the mountain of spiritual maturity. The second mountain that I would recommend that you climb is the mountain of absolute surrender. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Then the third mountain that I would recommend that you climb in your Christian experience is this, the mountain of complete dedication. Paul wrote in Romans 12:1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." These mountains, my friend, will bring into your life a new and wonderful program. Something exciting can happen to you if you'll climb these unclimbed mountains in your Christian experience. In order to do that, my friend, you must have iron shoes. God said to one of the tribes of Israel, Asher, "I will give you shoes of iron." You know, my friend, Jesus Christ had on iron shoes, as it were, when he made his way up the summit of Calvary, where he died for your sins and mine. Thank God, Jesus Christ did not stop halfway. He went all the way to death for you, that you might possess your spiritual possessions now. The second thing that we should do in possessing our spiritual possessions is to explore the unexplored treasures. I repeat, there are some unexplored treasures in your life and mine that we must explore. Now, men do not get oil from off the top of the ground. They do not get diamonds from out of the dust. There must be drilling. There must be mining. They must go deep. Even so, in getting the treasures of God, which are hidden in Christ, you and I must dig deeply. Listen to what Paul said in Colossians chapter 2 at verse 3. "In whom are hid," notice that word hid, now he's speaking about Christ, "in whom," that is in Christ, "are hid all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." If we're going to get those treasures, we must dig for them in our Christian experience. There's, first of all, the treasure of Bible knowledge. You read in the paper the other day that the Bible remains in 1975 the bestseller, and that there will be more than 15 million copies sold on the retail market this year. What a wonderful treasure is the Word of God. Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. The second treasure is the treasure of personal communion with Christ. You know the story of Martha and Mary, the sisters in whose house Jesus was visiting, and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, learning from him, communing with him, fellowshipping with him. Martha was out in the kitchen. She was anxious that everything would be just right. She came into the room where Jesus and Mary were. And when she saw Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, she said to the Master, "Master, bid Mary to come and help me." And Jesus said very kindly, "Martha, Martha, Mary has chosen the best thing." All the treasure of sitting at the feet of Jesus, and by faith, through prayer, having personal communion with Him. There's another treasure that you ought to dig deeply for today, and that's the treasure of spiritual wisdom. James wrote in his first chapter at verse 5, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." God wants you to have these treasures today, and they are yours to explore by faith, through Bible study, in prayer, and by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The third thing that we would talk about, in possessing our possessions, there are unclaimed promises that we should claim. I read some time ago that there are millions of dollars in treasury checks all over the nation that are unclaimed. Also in banks all over America, there is money in accounts unclaimed. But in the Bank of Heaven, my friend, there are many, many promises that are yet unclaimed. You ought to claim God's promise today. God has made, someone has said, over 30,000 promises in the Bible. We ought to claim them all. One, we ought to claim the promise of strength in Deuteronomy 33:25, "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." Second, we ought to claim the promise of companionship. Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you, but will go with you all the way." The third unclaimed promise that we need to claim is this, the promise of the supply of our needs. Paul writes in Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." These are just some of the unclaimed promises that you ought to claim in your life today. I have this footnote and I shall be through. The greatest possession we can possess is our glorified body at the coming of Jesus Christ. Paul tells us in Philippians 3:20, that Jesus will come and change our vile bodies and fashion them like unto His own glorious body. And in 2 Corinthians 5:1, Paul reminds us, "We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." My friend, these possessions can be yours simply by asking for them. What you need to do today, right now, by your radio, is simply ask God to help you to possess your possessions. You can do it by faith right now. As we leave the broadcast, may I remind you once again that it would be our joy to have you and your family on this Labor Day weekend, this last Sunday of the summer season, to come and visit with us at Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday school begins at 10, our morning worship hour at 11, and our Sunday evening worship hour at 7. Remember our location, 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. So until next Lord's Day, at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.